The Gospel can be found on page 1063, that's 1063 in the Church Bibles, or page 1876, that's 1876 in the large print version. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John chapter 1, verses 19 to 34.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Well, as we stand, let's ask that God might meet us and speak to us. Our gracious God and Father, open our ears to hear your word. Touch our wills to obey your commands. Melt our hearts to love you more and more. And then open our lips to sing your praise. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I think it would help to have your Bibles open. John chapter 1, page 1063. Have you spotted the difference between John's Gospel and Matthew, Mark and Luke? Well, John gives lots of interviews with people, the people Jesus met, and a number of miracles as well. The synoptics, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they give lots more teaching, things like parables and lengthy sections of teaching. The key word with John the Baptist is the word witness. So chapter 1, verse 6. "There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light." Verse 15, we learn that John testifies concerning him. Verse 19, we learn there that it was John's testimony which was given when the teachers and authorities came to see him. Verse 32, "Then John gave his testimony, 'I saw the Spirit come down from heaven.' Verse 34, 'I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God.'" Now, to be a witness involves commitment. Hence, it's not surprising that the word used in John chapter 1 of testify or witness, it's the same word from which we get our word martyr. John the Baptist was a great witness. There's a lovely verse in John chapter 10 and verse 41 where many people, we're told, said, though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man Jesus was true. Wouldn't that be a great text to have on your funeral service order when you die? Everything you said to your neighbours and family and friends about Jesus was true. Proclaiming Christ. Well, I want to point out a number of things about John. The first is that John the Baptist was a faithful witness to man's sinfulness. He was a great preacher. He drew great crowds. But what he said upset the priests and Levites and the Pharisees. So verse 19. Now this is John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. And he goes on, verse 24, when the Pharisees question him. He says, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He was so aware of his need and sinfulness. Now the religious teachers and authorities were very upset that John the Baptist was baptizing, because the Jews thought it was their leader's role to baptize. And he didn't baptize Gentiles, people of the nations. You did baptize Gentiles, but not Jews, because Jews were more pure, didn't need the forgiveness, so it was thought, but everybody else did. So John didn't just baptize Gentiles, he baptized Jews, which caused great consternation. It's not surprising, is it? Because baptism is an insult. Even when we baptize a child or adult, we make it very clear as we do the baptism, there's something very wrong in each of our lives. They are sinful. They need to be washed. There's something which is not right, something indeed which is dirty in all of our minds and hearts. Well, John the Baptist was saying, look, everybody has failed. They've all sinned. They're all dirty in God's eyes. And John was saying, that includes Jews as well as Gentiles. Now, excuse me doing a little bit of history with you here, but if I say the word alternative service book, those who are my age and older remember that, the ASB, and then take over from the Book of Common Prayer. Then we had, after that, Common Worship. All those things were replacing Thomas Cranmer's prayer book order, which actually we used at 8 o'clock here this morning. And you'll notice, if you look carefully at those successive revisions of official liturgy, they've become weaker and weaker on sin and repentance, or certainly the option to be weaker on sin and repentance is there. We know the Lord's Supper, at the end, they sang a hymn and then went to the Mount of Olives. But just think again historically, the prayer book order at the end, rather than we sometimes have it here, the glory at the start, is at the end. And the reason Thomas Cranmer, that great scholar and archbishop, put it there was he realized there's a constant need for forgiveness, for a fresh start. We need to cry out to God always for mercy. Well, Martin Luther's anniversary of 500 years is commemorated this year, and he nailed some really important theological points onto a church door in his country. And the first of his 95 statements, trying to bring people back to the Bible, the gospel, says this: When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he called the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. It should be a continuing mark of any Christian's life, day in, day out. Yet so often we don't take sin seriously enough. We forget about our constant need for repentance, for our sin and failure. I knew somebody who left a church, didn't want to leave. He'd been in his parish church, we had a house for 5 years, and he said, I had to leave, John, because in 5 years, I'd never heard mention of repentance, of turning from sin, from any of the clergy in that church. Well, we're meant to speak the truth about how lives are. And yes, our lives are very often, if we're honest, like cesspits, full of sin and failure and mess. And John the Baptist was beheaded. Do you remember that? And you know that graphic story, his head was brought out on a platter, cut off. Why was it cut off? A rash promise from Herod, but also because John the Baptist confronted Herod over his adultery with his brother's wife. And therefore, he was killed. He was a martyr. Friends, we can only know Jesus. We can only come to Jesus through John the Baptist. John the Baptist gives us that message of sinfulness. Think of Jesus' day. There was that great need to recall that each one of us needs rescue. Jew and Gentile alike. And then and now, the way to get ready is repentance, so our sins can be forgiven, a U-turn. John was a faithful witness to our sinfulness, and that message needs to ring down the centuries. It's true now as it was then. Second, John was a faithful witness to his own unworthiness. I love his humility. Now, this was John's testimony, verse 19. When the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. They asked him then, who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no, I'm not. The last book of the Bible in the Old Testament is Malachi. And Malachi, the prophet, stands between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there's a great promise there in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. See, I'll send you the prophet Elijah before that great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. A promise of an Elijah-like figure coming. And John the Baptist in John denies that he is that figure. But Jesus says, look at Matthew 11 if you want sometime, Jesus says that John the Baptist was that promised Elijah-like figure. Jesus was not going to let that message not be realized. And he wasn't the great prophet mentioned here, because that's what Jesus was. So John was very humble about his own unworthiness. Jesus, the king, the high priest, the prophet, spoken of in Deuteronomy 18. And John the Baptist says of himself, I'm just a voice. I'm just an envelope. I'm just an email, a message, pointing people to where the truth is. John 1, verse 23, John replied, in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. Great humility, an envelope bringing the message of the one who was truly great and needed by all. Has anybody here been to Masada in Israel? One Mike's been, I've been. Masada is the most extraordinary fortress in Israel. It was created by a group called the Essenes, and they went out into the wilderness to prepare for the day of the Lord. And so the people were called out into the wilderness. It was a picture of exile. They'd been exiled, of course, in Babylon as well. But the point of John the Baptist is it isn't a physical exile like that. No, it's a spiritual exile of every single person on the earth. We're all cut off from God. I have an old book at home called A Modern Introduction to Logic. And it's a little bit old, but it's quite interesting. It was written, published in 1910. And it struck me recently, speaking with some young people, actually, at the Piggott Senior School, is they often hold a whole amalgam of ideas together which are totally contrary to each other. And I rather wish they were taught some logic, because if you believe certain things, it means you also affirm the opposite. If you state something positively, you also state the negative, which goes with it as well. And we need to get that clearly into our minds. So, what's happening? Jesus came not to call the righteous. The logic is then, he came to call those who are sinful, who need rescue. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. It means no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's the only way. Well, verse 26, I baptize with water, says John, just making you wet, but among you stands one you don't know. He's the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. There's another lovely verse thinking about John the Baptist this week for me. John 3, verse 30, he must become greater, he said of Jesus, I must become less. Wouldn't that be a great motto for us in this new year? That Jesus become greater, us become less. John the Baptist, such humility. There's a wonderful Ugandan bishop called Fester Kibenjeri. He's dead now. He opposed Amin, and he had a lovely down-to-earth way of preaching. He hated all the pomp and ceremony. So when he's made archbishop, the press asked him about what he felt like. He said, I feel like the donkey on which people put clothes, on which the Lord Jesus then rode into Jerusalem. Simply a messenger. Humility. Because Justin Welby, when he was made Archbishop at Canterbury, do you remember that girl at the door of Canterbury Cathedral? And he says to her, I come as a brother in Christ, a servant like you, as well as that effect. That's actually what we're all called to do. Yes, John the Baptist, he's faithful to men and women's sinfulness. He was faithful to his own unworthiness. And do we take in the greatness of Jesus in comparison to us? And third, and perhaps this is most important, he was a faithful witness to Jesus Christ's unique work. So verse 27, he is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. Verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Can you imagine it? It's been a very extraordinary thing. There's John saying, look, there's my cousin there. That's my cousin Jesus. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And what echoes for Jewish hearers in that? The sheep provided when Abraham was about to kill Isaac, the Passover lamb sacrificed by each household, the Day of Atonement, the suffering servant, indeed in Revelation, the triumphant lamb. Here was the Lamb of God dealing with sin. And John the Baptist says sinful men and women can be forgiven. And the big issue is, for all of us, can I be right with God? Well, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one who baptizes with the Spirit. And again and again in John, we're told that the Spirit descending on Jesus remained on him. You see, he could bring forgiveness and give new life. He takes our sin at the cross. He gives new life, a fresh start. Christianity is unique in that it says there's free forgiveness. Don't need to work our way to God. It's due to God's grace and mercy in Christ. See, here is one who can do what only God can do. Forgive sins and give life. John the Baptist was a great witness. He was a great martyr. But Jesus' work, unlike John the Baptist, is permanent. For he is the Lamb of God, the Son of God, and Messiah for Jew and Gentile alike. Amen.